On the morning of December 30th, 1999, a passing motorist would witness smoke coming from a mobile home in rural Welch, Oklahoma. The home, which was lived in by the Freeman family, was no stranger to odd happenings. The family patriarch, Danny Freeman, had encouraged his wife and two children to live relatively isolated from the rest of the world. Danny encouraged a lifestyle that lived off of the beaten path, and was known to have several issues of his own, the least of which was his temper and employment issues, which led to him growing marijuana on his property and selling it to locals. He had had several run-ins with police and was well known with local officers. Despite the Freeman's oldest child, Shane, expressing a number of behavioral concerns in his teenage years that ultimately resulted in his death at the hands of a local police officer, their second child, a teenage girl named Ashley, was well-liked by those in the area, and she seems to have had none of the same emotional issues as her older brother. Her best friend, Laura Bible, had spent the night over at the Freeman's home on the night of December 29th. The night before the smoke on the property was spotted by random motorist. Authorities were alerted, and upon arriving at the Freeman property that morning, found that a fire was engulfing the mobile home. When they finally managed to quell the flames, they discovered the remains of an adult female in the wreckage, likely Ashley's mother, Kathy Freeman. However, neither her husband, Danny Freeman, nor the two teenage girls, Ashley or her friend Laura Bible, were found. A subsequent search of the burned property by Laura's family members turned up the body of Danny Freeman and his pet dog, indicating that the initial search, conducted by local authorities, had been inadequate at best. Yet, the revelation that both Danny and Kathy Freeman had been shot to death and left to burn in the wreckage provided little answers as to what had happened to the two missing teenage girls, who would remain missing with no resolution. For close to two decades, the investigation to find out what had happened to Ashley Freeman and Laura Bible would remain cold, with the case quickly stagnating. Authorities investigated multiple leads related to Danny Freeman's illicit activities, and would even probe some local serial killers, Tommy Lynn Sells and Jeremy Brian Jones. None of these leads produced any answers, and the truth would continue to elude investigators and the victim's loved ones for several years. But that would all change in April of 2018, when I brought you the first update in this cold case. When I originally covered this story back in January of 2018, I told you that newly elected Craig County Sheriff Heath Winfrey had announced a promising update for this case, which had remained the area's most infamous cold case. After taking office, he and his officers had found an office crate full of abandoned notes and documents relating to the Freeman and Bible investigation, which had been supposedly lost years prior. This long-lost information led police to a few suspects that had likely played a part in the brutal abduction of Ashley Freeman and Laura Bible, as well as the shooting deaths of Ashley's parents. Unfortunately, two of these three individuals were already deceased, having died in the years before this revelation was made public. But one of the men, 66-year-old Ronnie James Busick, was finally in police custody awaiting trial, having been charged with four counts of first-degree murder, two counts of kidnapping, and one count of arson. It was alleged that Busick, alongside Warren Phil Welch and David Pennington, who died in 2007 and 2015 respectively, had killed Danny and Kathy Freeman over an unpaid drug debt. After attacking the Freemans in their own home, they had then abducted the two teenage girls and kept them captive for several days before murdering them. Information in the old police case files hinted at photographs being taken of the two teenage girls, which had since been passed around in local circles that Busick and his accomplices traveled in. Several witnesses had claimed to have seen these photographs, or had overheard conversations between the three accomplices discussing their crimes. One female witness, who had lived with the now-deceased Phil Welch at around the time of the kidnappings, and was identified with the initials of TW, claimed in a sworn affidavit that, quote, she heard conversations between the three men where they disclosed that the murder victims had owed them money, unquote. This witness also alleges that Welch had once kept a briefcase with Polaroid photos of the two girls, who were, quote, bound and gagged with duct tape and lying on a bed, unquote. It was then alleged that the three men had raped and tortured the girls before disposing of the remains in a mine shaft several miles away. Police have yet to uncover the two girls' remains, but they remain hopeful that they can still be found.
A new search today in the case of two Welch girls missing for nearly two decades. Authorities lowered a camera down a flooded mine shaft in the Pitcher area. It's the latest in a series of searches of mine shafts and other potential sites of interest. Investigators say it's more of an exploratory look at the mine shaft to see if further efforts are even possible.
What we're trying to determine is this particular mine shaft accessible or feasible for a future search?
We were just told, here's a tip. People were saw in here that should have never been in here in a pickup.
This was the latest in a series of searches looking for the remains of missing Welch teens Ashley Freeman and Laura Bible. They disappeared in December 1999 as Freeman's parents were found in the remains of their burnt home in Welch.
For the past year and a half, loved ones of the two missing teenagers have waited for the state's case against Ronnie James Busick to move forward. In November of this year, 2019, it was announced that prosecutors had originally offered Busick an immunity deal if he cooperated with the ongoing police investigation and could provide information about the whereabouts of the two missing teenage girls. However, his defense attorneys argued that he was not competent enough to process the information, a build-up to a larger legal defense. Busick's attorneys had alleged that a gunshot wound he sustained back in 1978 had impaired his brain's ability to process information, and argued that this, paired with years of drug abuse, made him not competent to stand trial. However, that argument was dealt a crushing blow just days ago, on December 19th, 2019. On that day, he was deemed competent to stand trial, and Busick is now scheduled to return to court on February 7th, 2020 for a preliminary hearing. I am confident that there will be a more comprehensive update for this case in the months to come, as prosecutors prepare to begin their case against Ronnie James Busick, and hopefully, finally, bring answers to the community and the victims' loved ones. But until then, the stories of Ashley Freeman and Laura Bible remain unresolved. Sorry if I sounded a bit scratchy in this one, folks. I have a pretty nasty cough and cold that's making it very hard to record, but I'm gonna try and keep powering through for the next few days. We have a few more days of these updates to go through, and I really hope you'll enjoy all of them. Thank you all for your patience, and stay tuned for tomorrow's update.